microwaved coffee.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh my gosh. It feels every time we do these now, like that I've been, I don't know, busy, I guess, busier. I feel like it's been like a month since we recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does feel like a long time. And longer,
yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't even know what I did between the last one and today.
Did you guys hear about that movie Zola that's coming out?
Zola?
Okay.
No.
Wait, is this the animated?
No. Let me tell you about this incredible story. Okay. So, and it's more exciting to me because I watched it evolve.
Mm.
This movie is based off of this woman's tweets of a story she decided to tell because it was so bananas that she did like a series of tweets.
Okay.
I'll try to find them for you guys and send them to you. But the story was so incredible that they made a fucking movie.
Oh my god!
And A24 made it.
Oh,
so
cool.
Like, you know it's gonna be good. So it's about this woman who is a stripper and a sex worker, and she met this woman, this like other random woman, and this woman goes, "Hey," she's like overtly friendly, also a sex worker, and she's like, "Hey, my boyfriend and I are going down to Florida. I think they lived in New Orleans." Mm-hmm. And she was like, "We're driving down to Florida. Why don't you come with us for the weekend?" And it's just fucking bananas. Like, I'll just leave it at that. But they made a movie out of it. And Riley Keough, isn't it?
I don't know.
Logan Lucky. She was
is she the sister?
Yeah, the sister. Okay. Who I love her. And then I forgot who the other actress was, but I can't wait. If you guys don't know this, if you're listening to this and you don't know the story, look up Zola original tweets and see if you can read it. Because I was glued to my screen reading. I was reading it like a book. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, that and sounds just amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Movie theaters or...
Oh, yeah, we were talking.
Yeah.
I was talking to Kijan because I got a email from Landmark, which is like where they play independent films on Hillcrest. Yeah, in San Diego. Best popcorn. Well, used to be. Formerly
known for their best popcorn.
But they changed their machine and I could taste it.
Yeah.
anyway.
And I can taste
it. Yeah. No, they... So they put that Minari was there, but it was like one night or something like that on Saturday at 7.
Only one.
No, I mean, I think they're going to keep showing it, but it wasn't that many showings. It was like at 7 p.m. or something like Saturday. But Kijan already owned it. So
I own it, but I really want to see it in theaters. I'm willing to go back and see it.
Yeah.
I think on Friday is Christina's birthday. I don't think she has anything planned, but if we're not doing anything, I want to go see the Sparks Brothers, the Edgar Wright Sparks Brothers documentary.
At Landmark?
At Landmark. It looks really good.
I feel like going out somewhere now that we're in the clear.
We're free, you guys.
Semi-clear.
California is open.
Immune to any diseases now.
Yeah.
We're invincible. Yeah, that's
what's
going to happen.
Can we block other people from coming from other states?
Can't come in. Let's hear it. Yeah.
I've been watching soccer since it's summer.
Oh.
And
you know
it's European.
Long it's fucking been since I watched the match like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and they're letting people in the stands. It was weird.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah. It was weird watching people. It was weird, but in a good way because you can hear the chants and all that. And it was like great. But on like a sad note, I don't know if you guys saw that there was like a player that passed out.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I was like watching that live and it was like, yeah, like almost in tears. It was crazy. Like, cause they didn't pull the cameras away and
they
should have
filmed
him.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Basically.
Is he okay now?
Well, he is okay, I guess, but they don't know what caused it. So, I mean, he's technically not okay. Cause until they know what is wrong, but yeah, he fell like someone was going to throw the ball in from the side and they threw it towards him and it basically just hit him because he was already like he was in the middle of falling over.
Jesus Christ.
Nobody around him, so it wasn't like a head injury or anything like that. And then the captain ran over to him and then starts like holding his tongue so he doesn't like swallow it. And like they're showing all this on TV. Yeah, because his Holy eyes crap. Are like
fucking cameras away.
Yeah, his eyes are rolling back and then the players start covering like his teammates, like the captain gets all the entire team to like block so they don't see the people
Ringo.
Oh, Ringo.
Let me out.
He's like, I want to come out.
I hear you guys recording.
Oh, so anyways. So they were like covering him.
And... yeah, and then the captain starts giving him CPR. And then the trainers start giving him CPR.
That's so
and
scary.
You can basically see them like giving him CPR. So it was so like I'd never seen that happen.
And then
I guess
and recorded like that.
Yeah. Okay. So like that's kind of like where my like point is, because then the paramedics came, and then I guess he was like basically dead for a few minutes.
Jeez. What?
And then they used the defibrillator, and then that's how he came back. And you saw that they had like a close up of him going like you know moving because they shocked him or whatever.
That was filmed too?
Yeah, like everything was like
that is well, so
I mean,
scary.
they were trying to block him like the teammates, but you could see through the legs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was just like
jeez.
Literally standing like staring at the TV cuz I was like I can't believe like
they're showing
this. I can't believe they're showing this, but I was like god, like that would suck like if he like were to die. I'm like
and we all just fucking
we're watching just him. Watching him die on live TV like
yeah.
And then they brought like some white blankets and I was like no, I was like he can't be and it was like to block, they were using them to block.
Oh my god.
Why would you bring white blankets?
Yeah.
But then you know like everyone on the internet's like going nuts and I guess people in the stands like as they were bringing them like they put them on a stretcher and they were pulling them away like they were blocking so you couldn't see at that point anymore. But then someone snapped a picture of him like awake or whatever and then everyone was like the news was calmed down, but I'm like,
yeah.
So then later, like I, in my investigating,
yeah, my journalistic ways,
my journalistic ways, I find out that at big tournaments, the country or like the organization that's running it runs the cameras. Mm-hmm. So it isn't like NBC.
Oh, it's not it the isn't main like, channels.
Yeah. And so,
the FCC doesn't have,
well, they control. Do. But the people that have control are the. Ringo's cleaning his mustache.
Oh, he's getting his ball.
Oh, he's getting his ball.
Is there two back there?
Yeah, there's two back there.
How did they both get stuck in the same area?
No, I want the other one.
And why you have not played with the ball? And God knows how.
No, I want the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Like oh yeah.
But I want the cleaner. I want the cleaner one over there. I want the other one.
Look at him. He's so happy now.
I want everyone listening to know that he hasn't played with this ball in like 3 months. I don't know why he wants it now while we're recording.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. That's why he wants it. I want to be heard.
Yeah.
But anyway, so like the European organization UEFA. Runs all that, so they were the ones making the call to not pull it away, and then they obviously stopped the game and they canceled it, like, so it was almost halftime and so they canceled it, and then later they play like hours later they finished the game.
Wait, they actually finished it?
Yeah. And so like
who was it, by the way?
It was Denmark versus Finland. Jeez. And like as the fans were waiting and they would yell like the Finnish people were like would chant like Christian, and then like the Denmark people would like yell Ericsson, and they were like clap and stuff. And that stuff was like cool. Like,
yeah,
that's the stuff that I like about sports. Like the crappy stuff is the people that run it that don't understand that that's like the cool part. Like, like people coming together, it's like more important than the game. And then they don't like cancel the game. Just like let the players go home. Like these people like basically play since they're kids. And they're watching someone they know, like, basically die and then come back to life.
Yeah.
And you can see it in their faces, like, when they came back. Like, they didn't play. They lost the game. And they didn't play well.
You can't play the same way after.
And there's, like, a rumor, like, one of the players of Denmark, because the guy who fell was from Denmark, saying, like, that basically UEFA gave them two options. Either they finish the game or they lose the game 3-0, which there was no score to the game.
What?
I'm like, yeah. Okay. I'm like, so they basically forced them to play to finish the game. And it's like,
yeah.
It's so stupid. But
it's so dumb.
Yeah. So
I'm glad he's like alive.
Yeah, I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad that people are talking, like, regardless of the repercussions of like what could happen. I hope more people do. Because, like, even the commentators during them showing stuff, at least in the ESPN guys, were saying, like, we should be turning off the cameras. Like, kind of like hint, hint.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
We should be ending the half. Like, hey, we should stop this.
And
like,
no
stop
one did. Show.
And, like, no, like, they kept zooming in. And, like, yeah. And, yeah, so, like, everyone right now is, like, talking about that. I'm like, so they, like, I think FIFA needs to set rules. Like, if something like this happens, just, like, that's why we have broadcasters. Like, all they have to do is be, like, and we're going to go to, you know, Jimmy, whatever the hell, right now. And we're going to talk about something else, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when, in How I Met Your Mother, when Robin starts throwing up and she's
and like, cut to cover, cut to weather.
Weather. And then it's the clown and he's like, hey, that's what needs to happen. We need just like to go somewhere else. And I think, like, people are saying, oh, it's not ESPN's fault. It's not. I think ESPN should have done something as well. Like, in their broadcast,
they could have,
they could have been like, hey, just cut it and go to all the people in the studio who are just sitting there watching it as well, you know?
Yeah, they can't stop them from filming it, but they can stop it from showing on their end at least.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Anyway.
Anyhow.
That was the weekend. It sucked.
Yeah.
Soccer's been, it's been fun, though. The last few days. It's early though.
Wait.
So if I start working, I won't be able to watch it because it's at 7, 9, and then 12 or something, or 11 are the games. So I'm like, I can't watch them if I start working. But
yeah.
So
well, maybe.
I'd rather make money.
Yeah,
I know. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I'd rather be employed.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Microwave Coffee, and I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Kishan Sunday.
And I'm Justin Park.
Today's my turn. And I'm going to talk about...
soccer.
Yeah. No. Death.
Football.
No,
death and white sheets and stuff.
Yeah. No. That was my topic.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you, guys.
Right, this is going to be a short one.
No, I was getting mad at my keyboard because one of the keys doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're going to talk about typewriters.
Oh, nice. That never failed anyone.
Yeah.
Most consistent.
Yeah, because basically I just started thinking, I was like, how did it start or whatever? So here we go. Okay, so before like the typewriter that we know, like a bunch of people tried to come up with a way to write faster than handwriting. All the attempts for creating a typewriter were like big.
Mm-hmm.
And like resembled pianos because that's what people knew to like click on things was like pianos. So around, it's like estimated that around 52 attempts were made before we came up with like the typewriter. There is a patent.
Less than I thought.
Yeah. But I mean, you also have like how long it took people to.
Yeah, true.
To
be like,
right. To do one try.
And then someone was like, God damn it, I hate writing.
Yeah.
Like cramping up.
Someone finally was fed up.
Runs out of ink. Well, and you have to dip like your...
I'm tired of killing the
like
bird
fountain
to
pens.
Get the feather.
Yeah.
To dip it in the ink.
Yeah.
And to get the ink. Yeah.
Or like how long it took to like use the printing press too. Like having to put every single like character and then that's one page only.
Like, true.
Have like, you guys have you guys ever used a quill? An ink?
In art, not it's to write.
Super annoying.
Yeah.
I've used it to write. I used it in a class one time. And it's super, you have to dip it like half a letter in. You can only get like half a letter. Like if I'm writing an R, you have to like write the stick first and then dip it again and then.
Yeah, it's not so fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was a patent in 1714 by an Englishman named Henry Mill that was so vague that this is what people claim is like the first idea. An artificial machine or method for the impressing or transcribing of letters singly or progressively one after another.
I'd be like, you're full shit.
This sounds like Apple patents. Have you ever read an Apple patent? Like a patent made by Apple? It's always like they're all super vague so that then later they can be like, I came up with
that.
Yeah.
I was going to say it sounds like corporate talk.
Yeah. I'm like, it's so stupid. But the first like working typewriter was made by a guy named, Italian guy named Pellegrino Turi, who
made. He invented water.
Yeah, and then he he said, screw this, I'm making water.
It was too hard.
Yeah. In 1808, for his blind friend, Countess Carolina Fantoni da Fivazano.
Fantoni da Fivazavo.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot.
And I'm like way like
Do that.
My fingers are all close together.
I was shaking your hand.
Shaking my hand. Basically she was blind, so he tried to come up with something for her to write letters. And the only reason they know this is because they have some of her letters, but they don't know what the machine actually looked like. So it's
like some letters from her.
So she would send out letters, yeah. Oh, okay. And so they have some of the letters saying that she used a machine that would type or whatever. But in 1867, the first like commercial or like usable typewriter was made by an American inventor called Christopher Latham Sholes. I think he was from like Wisconsin or something. So he was like an amateur inventor, and he was reading a magazine called Scientific American. And
he's like, I'm tired of cheese.
Yeah, something else. And he was reading an article about a British inventor when he got the idea of how like the typewriter should work. So
wait,
he made.
Did he kind of think of it on his own, or did they already know about the Italian guy, or had the
British guy made as far as like the article that I read didn't say what the invention was that he was reading, but my guess is there was a guy like right before him that had attempted to make a typewriter, and I think it had like piano keys and like I don't know, it was kind of like big. And so his idea was to make something smaller, which is like the typewriter that like old timey typewriters that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. I'm picturing like a grand piano.
With every key with has like letters.
A letter. Yeah, a letter.
Yeah.
It probably looked like that. I guess you can find them, but I didn't look for those. I just looked for pictures of old timey typewriters because, okay, so he invented like a practical working one. And then he made like a second revision in 1868, so like a year later. And he was able to type faster than like someone would write with the pen. So it was like a lot faster. So that's when he was like, he's onto something.
Yeah.
It was only capital letters. And during that time was when he came up, him and his like team of people that helped him build it came up with QWERTY, a QWERTY keyboard. Oh. So like that's why we write in QWERTY, because he had it as alphabetical from like left to right, like top. So where the Q would be, it was A, and it was A, B, C, like, and the keys were jamming. because some of the like letters were close together and they were typing faster, so the like little arms that like
would hit the like paper, collide or something.
Yeah, they would like jam and hit together. So he decided to separate the letters so that when you type, the characters that are most common to be together would be on the same side of the of your left or right hand. So that's why you get like A and S and all those that are E, R that are close together, like are all on your left hand so that they don't hit.
W-A-S-D.
Like, so they don't like, you know, like left to right or whatever. Yeah,
wait, W-A-S-D. So do type, wait, I'm trying to think. Do typewriters have, I mean, I know the ones from like the 70s, I think. Do, but did they have lowercase?
No, they, well,
I'm picturing them all uppercase.
The this one was all uppercase because they couldn't figure out how to do it. So then at some point they decided to make double the keys. So it would be lowercase, all the keys would be lowercase, and then on top it would be like another keyboard with all uppercase. And so that's how they would type lower and upper. But the very first one was all uppercase. He was having trouble selling typewriters, so he didn't really sell that many until he went to E. Remington and Sons. Does that sound familiar?
They make guns. They were?
What? Oh, the typewriters? No, it didn't say the price, but my guess is that they were expensive because they weren't.
I was going to say they must be. Because that seems like such a great solution
for
people.
So they weren't like bought by many. It didn't seem like they were bought by like lower class people, because I'll talk about it right now. Like, like there was one particular person that bought like the very first one. But anyway, he sold it to Remington and Sons. They made guns before and sewing machines. At this time, they were making more sewing machines than guns. So he sold it to Remington in 1874. The first typewriter from Remington hit the market. It had like floral, like, have you ever seen an old sewing machine? It has like those gold, like floral.
Yeah, patterns.
Yeah. So the casing for the typewriter had that, because the same people who were making the sewing machines were the same people making the typewriters.
Okay.
Part of the other reason why it had like floral, like, ornamentation was because they were trying to market the typewriter towards women.
Do you know why? No.
Because women type faster than men.
No, it's not a positive reason. Think of the years it is.
Yeah.
So women were assumed to use them. The machines were assumed to be used by transcribing dictation. So that job was mainly done by women, or you know, husband to wife or whatever. So like, what was common back in the day is like the husband would be like, write this down for me, woman.
Yeah,
you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And then so that's why it was geared towards that.
Speaking of, also editors, just to let you all listeners know, editors is historically a female job, because we don't care about being the head honcho. We don't care. We care about the project. We don't care about being the director or the head. So it used to be a female job, and it also was an unknown job.
Yeah, because so no one ever
didn't want to do it, because they were no, I want to be the front.
I want all the glory.
Anywho.
So the typewriter that they had was basically like what we see in, like, I don't know if how many people actually have seen a typewriter nowadays, but basically it's like the little arm, like when you push the key, it raises the arm, it hits the ribbon, and then the ribbon has ink on it, and that transfers it to the
page.
The paper. Page. And his the invention that he had was mainly that every key would hit the center of the typewriter, and so the paper would
have to move.
Yeah, the paper moves on like a roller to the left or whatever, and then you reset it, and then it goes back.
If you live in San Diego and you would like to try a typewriter, we have two at the Grossman High School Museum.
I want
to
go.
And there is paper for you to actually type out a letter. Oh, so if you are interested in trying one, please visit.
I am.
Or contact
That's
the
me.
Gross
me, me, me.
Yeah, I want to do it because actually doing this, I was like, God, I really want to type on a typewriter now.
My mom had one when I was a kid.
I had one
because she worked at she worked for the I don't know who are the DEA federal people in Mexico. She worked for them.
Oh yeah.
And so she did the typing. She had a she was a secretary, so she did the typing. So I remember using it a lot as a kid, but it was annoying because of what you just said that it would like jam and
yeah. mine was a little bit newer than that. It was mine was more electronic, I think. During this time, when the Remington came out with their first one, Mark Twain purchased a Remington and was
he changed his life.
Yeah, basically. became the first person to author and submit a typewritten manuscript for a book.
What year was this?
Nice.
It was that as the same year, I think, the 1868? No, 1874.
Wait, he was the first person?
First person to submit an entire book manuscript.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
In all caps, I'm assuming, because he bought the first edition of the Remington. Like, why is he yelling?
Yeah, he's yelling throughout this whole story.
That's weird.
In 1878, so 4 years later, Remington released their Remington number 2. The big design difference was the shift key.
Ah, for the capital letters.
Yeah, and the main reason for this was that they basically cut down on costs because they didn't have to use as many like little levers that punch the key and less keys on the keyboard.
Because you can put the lowercase one.
Yeah, on the same. Yeah, so like basically they cut the keyboard, like the keys in half, making it cheaper to manufacture.
During that first one, like what the one that, for example, the one that Mark Twain used, did it move along as you typed or did you have to manually move it?
I think it moved along as you typed, but they did have to manually reset it.
Yeah.
Wait, like the first one wasn't, I thought you said it typed in the center only.
No, it did. Like the letter, oh, that was the, like the design was like.
The machine would move it.
The machine, it yeah, along. So it would type, okay. Hit like dead center, the letter would hit dead center and then. Once it would go back, it would like.
Move okay.
Oh, got it, got it.
But yeah, so and they then, did have to like, yeah, move it over and then roll.
I would imagine that that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
To like come up with for it to move along.
And, yeah, I would think so too. Because I mean, if you had to move it, I don't know how efficient that would be. For every key, you would have to like slide it over, mm-hmm. So that would make it less efficient than writing by hand. I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to come up with the spaces. I mean,
yeah,
space and, bar. Yeah.
So,
patent pending.
So the shift key. Basically, they put two characters per type bar is what it's called. The thing that hits the ink ribbon when you hit the shift key, and basically it would like I think it would move the roller like at a certain angle so that when it hit, it would either hit the top character or the lower character. And that's how it, because I think they also started to add with the shift key, they started to add like different like commas and like organizing more the keyboard so that it would be more efficient to type. I think around this time too, other manufacturers started making keyboards and everyone kind of started to adopt the QWERTY style. Like, so for a while, everyone kind of would make their own like keyboard layout, but a lot of people started to just adopt the QWERTY because the Remington was so popular that it was just kind of like everyone was learning on a Remington, and to have to relearn the type kind of sucked.
Yeah, anyway. It'd be difficult if somebody was like, oh, we're just gonna do it in alphabetical order, and then it's like,
and then you just relearn thing. Yeah. The tab key was the kind of next thing that people started to add, and it was mainly because of businesses. So when you're typing like a professional letter, it needed that extra space. And before the tab key, like they would have to actually like adjust the roller to be like spaced out perfectly. So that kind of sucks. So then they invented like tab key, and then it would just move it over to the actual like separation it's supposed to be. And that was like towards the 19th century. So that was like right after they started really using typewriters. The next iteration of the typewriter was the electric typewriter that was invented by... No one knows? Mm-mm. We've talked about him before.
You're gonna say it and I'm gonna be like, duh.
The douchey guy we've talked about before? Electric typewriter? No? Okay.
No.
Edison.
Edison. Fuck Edison.
Yeah.
Hack.
Yeah, so supposedly he came up with the electric typewriter. Yeah, I don't know that he actually came up with it because he stole everything. Yeah. But basically, the electric typewriter was kind of like stupid to me as an idea because basically the only difference is that you can remotely type to like a thing that would spit out the paper, basically.
Wait, that's nuts. What year was that?
I don't remember. Actually, I didn't write it down. But it was...
That seems so I don't know. For an electric keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, so like, it wasn't like the keyboard necessarily electric, but like it would send the signal electrically to the...
Typewriter.
Where the paper would come out. And it wasn't like a sheet of paper at first. Like the one he came up with was those strips of paper. Have you ever seen
that?
Kind of like a label maker.
Yeah, those
old-timey ones that you see, like, they're reading something and it's all like gibberish, like on movies. They're just like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. They're like,
the stock market is like crashing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always the stock market. Yeah. It's always the stock market.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, you're right. That is kind of like that does seem like a dumb idea.
Yeah, like, it seems like a dumb idea. It'd be like, why would I want this?
Yeah. Oh my God.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that was a dumb idea. during World War One and Two, a lot of women started entering the workforce as typists. So typewriters were still being kind of like associated more with women. Mm-hmm. There was a census that said that 94% of unmarried women were stenographers and typists, which is a ton of women. I think that's only in the U.S.
That's a lot.
94% of women that are unmarried.
That's nuts.
Yeah, being a typist was considered the job of a quote-unquote good girl and was a cliche for office life in vaudeville and movies.
Yeah, for sure. You always see them.
Yeah. So it's like Mad Men.
Yeah, you always see them typing.
Yeah. It was also like big in Russia during this time, during the Russian like Civil War, because... They were trying to, like, well, I mean, they did control, like, the media from that time. And basically, you couldn't handwrite anything in Russia. You had to type it, send it to the government, and then they would approve if you can, like, publish it or not in a newspaper. And it had to be, like, typed. It couldn't be written.
Hmm.
So, like... Typewriters were huge in like Russia because like everyone had to use one. You couldn't be writing stuff down. In the early 20th century, also people started to come up with noiseless or quiet typewriters.
Because they're so loud.
They were developed by Wellington Parker Kidder. Basically, all it would do, it would slow down the type bar, that little thing that hits the ribbon, right before it hit it. So... It wasn't quiet at all, basically.
Yeah.
The way they described it in like, the articles that I sound, it was more like a clunk than a clack. So it was just like clunk, like a hollow sound, I guess.
Yeah,
So basically people were pissed because they would market it as like silent, that you could sit next to someone and they couldn't hear. And it was all like BS. Like a lot of the stuff from back in the day, they would like market it as like this huge thing. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just quieter, but not even that much quieter. One of the biggest changes after that was IBM. They kind of started getting into that market. And so IBM and Remington were like the most popular typewriters. So IBM decided to come up with like a more efficient way of typing. So they came up with the IBM Selectric typewriter.
What year was this?
This was in the 60s, I think. I don't know exactly what year, but it was in the 60s. Like, because, I mean, they came up with a lot of typewriters between that. But in they came up with the Sphere. I don't know if you've seen.
No.
It basically looks like a little ball and it has letters on it.
What the fuck?
You've never seen it?
I've never heard of this. Okay. No.
Yeah, like I thought you've seen it because you see a lot of movies. I think I've seen it like in movies before. Basically, it looks like a golf ball, and it's a little bit smaller. So
it rotates before it presses against the...
Yeah, so when you hit the key, it like rotates. So there is no jamming because it's a rotating ball. Like all the characters are in a ball. Genius.
People are so smart.
Yeah. I was like, no. And so they were still using ink ribbons, but... during this time, they decided to also try to use carbon, like, film.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of backfired because then people can read. Like, the carbon film can only be used once.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can read what you wrote on the carbon film. So, like, if it was, like, an office or, like, a legal thing, you know, you can kind of get discovered of, like, what you're trying to write. Other than that, nothing really changed. People try to come up with different ways to type. There was the biggest thing after that was electronic typewriters, I guess. Not electric. Electric was the other one. Electronic typewriters had like a small display that would show you what you were typing before it would like type it out on the paper so that you can edit it.
Oh my God, I've never heard of this.
So those were the like... last typewriters that were coming out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically didn't last that long.
I mean, the typewriter itself is a very solid idea. Like, mm-hmm. I could use it today and it would be fine. Like, it's not, you know, me typing on a typewriter versus a computer right now is not that big. I mean, it's obviously more efficient on the computer, but it's not that big of a difference where you would say like, oh, something needs to be done about this, you know?
Well, the only thing that...
just the heaviness.
The travel. Moving it is the, like, one thing, but also, like, the editing is the other, because you
I was going to ask about the, like, backspace.
There was a lot of, like, different ways. Like, I didn't write them all, because when I started to actually look into that, because I remember my typewriter had... backspace, like where it would like you would type the same key and it would like white it out, but it was so expensive that my mom never would buy the white out cartridge. she bought it once, and you know, I'm like in second grade, because it had like the ribbon, or at least my typewriter had a ribbon, and then you would enter in another like type of cartridge, like ribbon, for deleting the character.
I would make so many mistakes. Actually use whiteout and had to white it out.
No, that was the other issue with my typewriter, was that it ended up breaking because my sisters and I started to use whiteout and then it would gunk up. And
you would type on top of it.
Yeah, we would type on top of it, and then it started to jam. But there's like many companies came up with their own ways of like erasing like throughout, but none of them really like worked. The electronic display, I think, was probably the best way, because you can see what you're typing before. So then IBM was kind of like the biggest one after that. They sold their stuff in 1991 to Lexmark, I think it was. Yeah. By that point, computers were like kind of taking over. Nobody was really getting typewriters. So, I mean, I think they sold it at a good time, and I think they sold it kind of late, because like by the 80s.
That does seem late.
Yeah, I don't remember not having a computer at school ever. I think.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe like kindergarten and preschool, like because we didn't use anything.
Really. I mean, like, I don't remember.
By first grade, had like Macs. Mm-hmm. We had like Apple. Yeah, I don't remember. Was it Macintosh? Whatever one.
Oregon Macintosh.
Yeah. Carmen San Diego.
Yeah, Carmen San Diego.
Math Blaster.
Game is fun.
Yeah. And so anyway, yeah. So then that kind of like died out. In, I think it was like 2009 or something like that. Brothers. Have you guys heard of Brothers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They make printers and faxes and stuff now. They manufactured their last typewriter in the UK, and then gave that last typewriter to the London Science Museum, so you can see the last manufactured typewriter in the UK. At least It said that they claim it's, so some people might not believe that they're the last ones, but they're the ones that said they're the last ones.
It's in a museum.
It's in a museum
in where, like London.
In London, I think.
Yeah,
London Science Museum. Yeah. Other than that, typewriter died. In Latin America and in Africa, I guess they still use typewriters because they don't have electricity everywhere, and typewriters are non-electric basically for the most part. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most like of them. Yeah, like I said earlier, it's like it seems pretty efficient. Like if you told me to use a typewriter now, it wouldn't be horrible.
Yeah,
I'd be like, it'd be a little annoying because it jams, you have to white it out, all that stuff. But it's still an efficient way of getting
the concept. Yeah, out.
Yeah, and it's like it's
not that bad. In the U.S. up to 2009, there were still like government agencies using typewriters for like pre-made forms. But yeah, so like until now, they still use them. I guess in Brazil, they still make typewriters. And in South America and Africa, it's like well known that a lot of people use it because some people don't have power at home. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of it.
That's so cool. I didn't know that they were invented so early.
Yeah, me neither. I thought it was like definitely like 20th century. But
yeah.
I guess
not. Sure.
Yeah, I guess not. But yeah, I got a lot of info from Xavier University. They have like a webpage called the Classic Typewriter page. And they came out with a book called The Typewriter Revolution. And obviously Wikipedia and the Britannica.com.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's so
crazy.
Interesting. Yeah.
And now I want to type.
I want a typewriter again.
I wonder how fast I would get tired typing on that thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not really,
how heavy it would be.
I don't think it's exhausting. I think for me, it's the editing. It's the like whiting out, backspace, all that stuff. That's a little more complicated.
Maybe like an old timey one, the drive like down is probably a lot further. Yeah. But I mean, you can find some with like keyboard.
Shorter travel.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, like the one that I owned was a Brother, and the keyboard basically was a computer keyboard.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that much different, but
I mean, I've heard of a lot of writers nowadays that still use keyboards because they're like, it's the same thought behind physically reading a book versus reading it on your iPad, where they're like, I like to feel the keys and
so they do typewriters. What do you mean? Or no?
Yeah, I've heard of a
lot. Well, I mean, that's why we build our own keyboards.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of
twitch.tv/kangaroojourn or /kangaroojourn. Yeah. If you want to see someone build a keyboard.
Yeah.
A keeb.
And also, if you want to just like chill out, Justin's channel's like great.
Yeah. If you want to just have it in the background.
Have a coffee. Yeah. Have a
He has
wine.
Like a little bit of like music. A
little music going on in the background.
Good music. Yeah.
A little music. A little
drinking
cocktail.
Some LaCroix. Yeah. A cocktail or a coffee.
And he builds a keyboard. yeah, anyway. I don't know if he wants us to plug him, but
yeah.
It's what he's doing.
Definitely.
On the side.
Yeah, go follow.
Go follow.
Hustle.
Yeah,
it's free for now. I'm just kidding. It's free.
I was actually looking at keywords on eBay. No, like they're kind of expensive still, especially
Justin's
like the older
like,
ones. But yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Where can they find us?
Anyway, yeah. Follow us on Instagram at @microwavecoffeepodcast. And email us at microwavecoffeepodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Could I get some more coffee?